We appreciate this time to come back to the portfolio committee and to provide the responses to the public comments present. And through you, Chairperson, may you allow me to introduce the team once more.
Sir, though we know you, but but if you feel like to do it again.
Further to that, on the right, we have Captain Stroke, the hydrographer in the Navy. Further down, we have Abigail Damane. She is the lead advisor to the Executive Department of the Air. We have Peter Nkabinde, I'm sure you're familiar with, in the Ministry Office. And Mr. Marini from Department Liaison Parliamentary Officer. I'm going to hand over the presentation to Lieutenant Colonel Mashego to present. And our stance or the way we're going to operate is we'll assist in answering any questions along the way on the responses. And for technical comments, we have an idea for the statement as well. I just want to set the scene in terms of the documents that you have. Before you, we have seen the portfolio committee submission, summary of the submission. Now, to make it easier, what we've done is we've added the column, we've added a column to say departmental responses on each comment there. So we can take it along that line. Beneath that document, you have what is now a, based on the public comment, a an amendment on the board.
Oh, which document are you talking about?
I'm referring to this document, the one that says Portfolio Committee Understanding the Motivation, Commission of Working Documents, section by section. If you look on your far right, sir, you'll see there's a column department of responses on each comment. So we're going to move from that to this. And where there's a corresponding, we feel it could be a corresponding amendment in the book, we've indicated it on the chat table on a copy of the book. So that the committee is, can see whether we adopt the comments or we reject them or an explanation therefore. Are we comfortable? Thank you. I'll hand over to Colonel.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. The first response refers to the general note that was provided by Professor Wittow, where she states that the committee to consult the Maritime Zone Act, the Integrated Coastal Management Act, ensure that definitions are standardized and they are aligned. Further, she made a note that the Integrated Coastal Management Act supersedes the Maritime Zones Act. And in response to that, if the Honorable Chairperson would allow me to use the abbreviations, the ICMA stands for the Integrated Coastal Management Act, and the MZA stands for the Maritime Zones Act. The department's response is that the ICMA does not supersede the MZA, as it does not repeal that act. But instead, the ICMA only refers to as in the initial act, as well as the dumping at sea control act. Then, in so far as there is a conflict between the two acts, then the ICMA interpretation will prevail. It's only on the issue of interpretation of the act, not that it supersedes the other. Further, section 2B limits the application of the bill to the exclusive economic zone, which is about 200 which is some miles, and it does not go beyond to the high seas. The definition of sea, Honorable Chairperson, in the ICMA is a broad definition, and it includes the high seas, and also it includes waters belonging to other states, whereas the hydrographic bill is meant to be applicable within the exclusive economic zone of the Republic. Further, Chairperson, when we look at the term ocean, it is not defined in the MZA as well as the ICMA, but also we found that it is not defined under the United Nations Convention of Law of the Sea, that is UNCLOS. Practically, there is no universal definition of ocean. Therefore, interpretation, it rules indicate that the ordinary meaning of the word should be used. And we see no need to define ocean in our bill. Further, the honorable professor made notes on the reserve, and we feel that it is drafting rule that definitions existing in other laws may not be duplicated in further or new laws, and as such there is no need for the hydrographic bill to contain a definition with reference to the reserve. Honorable Chairperson, going to the second response, it refers to a proposal that was made by Mr. Stefan van Genendaal, where he proposes that the definition of the hydrographic surveyor should be amended to include the Act, Geomatics Profession Act 19 of 2013, which proposal we accept as a department, because the initial one that we had written there is actually repealed by this Geomatic Profession Act 19 of 2013. So we accept the proposal. The next proposal on definitions, that is from Professor Witta, she proposes that definitions should be amended to reflect that navigation should not be limited to sea, but must include navigation of air, land, and sea. And the response of the department to that, Honorable Chairperson, is that it is not accepted because the hydrographic bill specifically deals with navigation of the sea. Further, Honorable Chairperson, she proposes that hydrographic data be amended to read description of the physical features of the sea and adjoining coastal zone with reference to their use for the purpose of the offshore navigation, and the response of the department is that the amendment, the proposal to amend the hydrographic data is accepted, but the department instead proposes the following wording, which was received from the HO, which is the definition in terms of the International Hydrographic Organization, and it means that all data obtained from the measurement and description of the physical features of the exclusive economic zone, all internal waters and adjacent terrain. This includes the depth of water, configuration, and the nature of the topography beneath, the direction and force of currents, height and types of tides and water stages, location of topographic features and fixed objects for survey and navigation. Further to that, Honorable Chairperson, members, hydrographic charting, it includes charting of inland waters. Offshore projects only out of sea, and it's restricted because it does not include internal or inland waters. Perhaps I should allow the hydrographer to explain his definition on hydrographic data.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Just to explain it very simply, the data that is collected is all depicted on a navigation chart, a paper chart, or an electronic navigation chart for the mariner today. And this data is all inherently geospatial. In other words, the data that is collected is able to be pinpointed on the surface of the Earth and projected on a chart. So the depth of water, we have a position form. The nature of topography, which is the science of hydrography, we actually describe the seafloor ocean. And the topography, we position the rocks and any hazards to navigation. We measure the direction and the force of the tides and the current. That's very important, how it can affect the mariner. And the tides, the very important fact for navigation. All our data, the soundings, the depths that are actually plotted on a chart are reduced to what we call a chart datum. It is the lowest astronomical tide, which the mariner can then add the tidal level to make sure that the ship is safe to enter and leave port. Very important. And we actually have a tidal network around our country to enable us to predict tides and to see at your engine or in a shop, you'll see the tides for the year. That's something that we do. Also, what very important is the location of topographic features. So typically a lighthouse or a beacon that is on land, we position and we actually plot that on the chart so that the mariner, as he sails from point A to point B, he's able to take a fix and a bearing to make sure that he's safe or she is safe. Then also fixed objects, we often, as part of chart production, we have something called geodetic control. So everything on the chart needs to be able to be referenced to a known point, a known reference station on the Earth's surface, and that is called a geodetic control. So we often fix these objects as well. And everything is tied down to this geodetic point. And then, of course, for navigation, while everything we do is for the safety of navigation in terms of the Safety of Life at Sea Convention, Chapter 5. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Going forward, the next proposal is the amendment of the hydrographic surveying, which is proposed to read surveying the purpose of determining geospatial data relating to the sea internalities, inland water bodies and terrain in the vicinity and beneath this. This proposal is not accepted by or not acceptable by the department, in that there is no need to refer to the geospatial data because all hydrographic data is inherently special in nature. Further, there is no need to specifically point this out in legislation. And we feel that it is unnecessary and it must be deleted because the scope of the surveying is already captured in the amended version of the hydrographic data. The definition of the hydrographic data. Honorable Chairperson, the next proposal is the amendment of hydrographic surveyor. This is from Professor Witton. It is the same proposal that was made earlier on by Mr. Van Enendal, which we have accepted. Further, the professor proposes.
To be registered with the hydrographic survey.
Chairperson, the registration of hydrographic surveyors, from my understanding, the way the clause is currently written is that you don't study hydrography at an accredited organisation to get what we call the IHO, Federation of Engineers Surveyors, which is a French term. And you can either get a Category A or a Category B qualification, which is internationally recognized. This certificate from the institution has been brought to the geomatics profession with council. And they have criteria in which you have to comply with in order to be successfully registered. So you have to have the accreditation in order to present yourself towards to the council in order to get registered. You also have an exam to write. On successful completion of that, they will then consider you a registered professional.
Well, Chair, maybe that comment to that had been included, that it didn't have been a question. Your comment that had been made by the head office or some stuff.
Through your mediumship, just clarify that. I think what the captain is trying to say is that if you say you need registration to the geomatic app, it's good enough. Because in the app itself, it spells out what are the requirements are in order for you to practice in a subject case. That is why we accepted it as an amendment to the app. So I think that's what you were actually trying to say when you were trying to say why you want to be registered. So that comment, that is why we didn't explain further, which is accepted. Put it as accepted because it's capable that compliance with the geomatics will follow the registration. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. whether the professor proposes additional or new definitions which are not already included in the original bill. I will deal with this together as one. There is an inclusion of a clause on road height elevation and also low water that must be defined, and thirdly, the low water line. And the response to the three proposed inclusions is that the low tide is already captured in the proposed amendment to the hydrographic data designation. And really there's no need to specifically define low tide individually. Further, that there's no need to incorporate low water, as it is in the inherent functions of the hydrographic data capturing. And the same goes to the low water line, that the hydrographer cannot produce a chart without giving tidal information. This is already part of the duties and responsibilities of the hydrographer. Going further, Honorable Chairperson, the professor proposes the amendment of nautical publication and nautical chart that it must include in the definition digital and analog. And the response of the department to that is the department does not accept that inclusion, because it would be too detailed to specify the form of the map. The emphasis is actually on what it is. So the definition exactly captures what nautical publication and nautical chart is. A further proposal by the professor is that a new definition be included, that is a definition of sea. And this is not accepted by the department, because sea, for purposes of hydrographic services, as earlier stated, for the Republic of South Africa, is limited to the exclusive economic zone. It does not go beyond. And the definition as suggested goes beyond the jurisdiction of the Republic, and therefore we are of the opinion that it should not be accepted. The following one is the low water line proposed. Already we have dealt with it, the sea. We've already dealt with it immediately just above. The other proposed amendment is on the definition of user, where the professor says that the reasons for defining user is limited to those who buys information from or who pays for services of the hydrographic office, that it is not clear and it should be clarified. This proposal is accepted, and the department proposes the following wording to amend the definition, that a user is any person who obtains full purchase or otherwise information from or through that of the hydrographic office, or who pays for the services of the hydrographic office. This is mentioned in this way because there might be users that do not directly purchase the information directly from the hydrographic officer, but receive it from a person who has purchased. Here we are also inclusive of the third parties who might be in possession of hydrographic charges. Honourable Chairperson, under clause 1 of the definitions, those are the proposals and the response. The next clause that is affected by this comment is clause 4, functions of the hydrographic office. The professor proposes that this is the duty of the hydrographic since it is presented on charge. It defines the limits of the Republic, and it is very important that the responsibility is conveyed and assumed. And our response there is, we take note of that, but further state that the duties of the hydrographer are clearly indicated in the hydrographic bill. What hydrographic services involve is also stated in the definition of surveying and part of the duties. If, Honorable Chairperson, that it happens that there might be issues of overlapping in functions, actually this is where cooperation agreements in terms of clause 14 of the bill become vital. Further, the professor proposes a further inclusion at section 4 to include, section 40 to include para Roman figure 5 and Roman figure 6. Roman figure 5, she proposes the inclusion that to determine the position of the low water line, and the following one to determine the terminal source strain baseline as defined by the Maritime Zones Act. And the response of the department to that is that this proposal is not accepted, and reference is made above where the professor was proposing the inclusion of low water tide, and low water line. On Roman figure 6 that speaks to the terminal source strain baseline, the department responds that the terminal source strain baseline is already part of the hydrographic survey under topographic features that explained earlier on by the hydrographer. This definition is wide enough to cater for features of the terminal strain baseline, and that there is no need to include it in under section 4C. Further, the professor states that low water line should not be determined by the Minister of Defense and should not confuse with ministerial oversight. This comment is not accepted by the Department of Honorable Chairperson members, as the Minister does not determine low water line. Instead, the Minister makes regulations in this bill. This bill does not make reference altogether to low water at all. And this makes this comment, or rather the proposal, to be relevant and not accepted by the department. The next clause we propose amendment is clause number 7, powers and duties of the hydrographer. the professor states that reference to BEACH pitch in the bill is incorrect and is not the seashore but is length above high water mark that is for public purpose. And there she proposes the inclusion that section 7.1 A, B and C should be amended as follows: A, to replace the word beach with seashore, and then B, to add the word coastal before the word reserve, and C, to delete the word ocean and replace with sea and estuary. This proposal, Honorable Chairperson and members, is not accepted by the department. One with reference to which the department argues that the language or the terminology that must be used, that should be used in the bill must be understandable to the general public. So a whale beach is well known for the public to be referring to a beach, and if the member suggests, rather if the professor suggests that beach be replaced with seashore, Honorable Chairperson, I'm wondering if tomorrow you were to go to the seashore to take a basket, whether people will understand. But if you say I'm going to the beach, it's be unacceptable to members of the public. Further, the proposed amendment of B, that coastal be inserted before the word reserve. The word coastal is, itself, if it is used, it will be restrictive because coastal refers only to coastal and excludes internal waters. So we understand, as the captain hydrographer would explain, why we do not accept that.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members of the committee. The one of our responsibilities, the best way to answer you or to explain it to you, is one of our responsibilities is to provide hydrographic information for all navigable waters within the Republic. And that would typically include dams, waterways, or any area that a vessel can safely transit on. So, as I've explained in the hydrographic data, fixing topographic features and fixed objects for geodetic control and also for aids to navigation. When you are operating a hydrographic survey on a dam, for example, or a river, the reserve that they're referring to, a coastal, is really it's referring to the beach, B-E-A-C-H, and not the surrounding area of a dam or a river. And we need to have access to the adjacent terrain of the dam or the river to establish fixed objects or any topographic features. So the term coastal reserve in the department's opinion is too restrictive, and the reserve in this case is open to any terrain surrounding bodies of water or lakes, rivers, and dams in this case. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you,
Can I just make an observation with regards to replacement of beach, and then you said you don't take a basket to the seashore. But if you look at the objects of the Act, it doesn't seem like the object of the Act is for ordinary beach goers. is really for hydrographic industry, if I can call that phrase. That's why they're probably going a more a technical definition, and not for people to go with a basket to go to the seashore or to the beach. They'll be using this app. So just, I mean, that is my interpretation of that. Might be wrong, because I don't think you guys will say, you know, I'm going to the beach to do my work. You will probably refer to, I'm going to the seashore in the vicinity, or even more technical description of that. So I think that is my interpretation of that recommendation.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think the issue is essentially, is the word beach being used consistently throughout the Act or not? If seashore is used, I mean, generally in English, we do use the word going to the seashore, and we got seashells, and we get sea salt. So, seashore in English is accepted. The issue is being consistently used throughout the Act. If seashore is used, one can also just add that if in the definition, everyone could just put in brackets beach, commonly known as beach. And that will obviate the problem.
Exactly.
What do you have in the original?
Beach.
Beach.
And it's used
throughout. As long as that doesn't imply packing a basket.
Yeah.
and sockets and go for a drive and beach. Not the layman's term of beach.
Yeah.
So as long as we know what that means.
Yeah.
Because you might get a geographic, if it's a couple of castles with it, to the beach.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I was also, you know, following that, looking at the bill usually talks of the beach. How much are we going to pay if we say beach / seashore? So that it fits everybody. Also, another question I wanted to check. You do it in legal terms of the flesh. On your clause one, you said navigation is only about in the sea. But you also talk of offshore navigation. In the same way, just educate us. That is on the first page on clause one, just at the bottom. When you talk about hydrographic data, you say it must be used for the offshore navigation.
Would you say the location of a lighthouse is offshore or the other way around?
Chairperson, thank you. It's definitely onshore. Definitely on land. On topography, fixed terrain. Yes. You may find, and this is where it gets confusing, you may find a lighthouse ashore, but it's still on fixed terrain. So typically, the Simon's Bay, the Roman Rock Lighthouse, it is technically ashore, but it is on fixed land. Thank you.
Just so in the language that I understand, in the English that I understand, not with the French.
But what
would be onshore and offshore?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the Honourable Member summed it up very nicely, but to answer your question, onshore is anything from the low water line landward, and anything that is offshore is from the low water line seaward. Does that answer your question, sir? The offshore is anything from the low water line seaward, out to sea.
Offshore.
Offshore.
Onshore?
Onshore is from the low water line landward, inland.
Oh. Okay.
Does that answer the question?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Can you continue that then? Can I?
Okay, to you. Can we just pick up on this issue of seashore beach? Okay. If you look at the app, there's just two places where the word beach appears. And that's for purposes of allowing the hydrographer access of any land. It says land, beach, in those places as well on land or ocean or internal waters of the jurisdiction of the Republic to place his beaker or, you know. So that's why, from that perspective, you know, beach is clear. More clearly, why we say, let's use that word, it's more generally accepted. And we draft legislation, we try to keep the language, even though it's specific for a specific person. So purpose, quite simple, you know, so that it's understandable generally. So we're happy to change the word, to be sure. But
I was just responding on the basket.
Yeah. I think that's what he was trying to tend to say, you know, in terms of legislation drafting to make it more universally accepted, understandable. You know, so if you look at it in context where the word beach is in the act, you can see that if someone reads it, they'll definitely know, okay, land, beach, enclosed place, to erect his beacon or perform his function.
Chairperson, just on that again, what is the definition of a beach? Is it where there's sand, or where there's rocks, or where there's cliffs? So obviously in terms of that seashore or beach, you know, you might get to a cliff where it's quite high up now, that's still beach. I'm just being devil's advocate, and in terms of the technical use by the hydrographers, in terms of that, and that's where it might be confusing to us.
Yeah.
And in terms of that definition that's given by the gentleman about the basket. So, you know, that implies that it must be interpreted by the layman as that. But if it's not intended for the layman, then obviously we must just be really cautious.
Let's ask the hydrographer. I mean, he's in the best case to answer. I think it's more of a technical question now.
Thank you, Chairperson, members. You're quite correct, sir, in saying that beach is actually commonly known as an area of sand. We don't refer to areas that are rocky or cliffs as the beach. It actually is the seashore. So I'm more than happy to accept the term seashore, which will be a much more inclusive terminology to include sand, rocks, cliffs, etc. Thank you.
So we can change the basket to seashore.
Okay.
Seashore.
Oh, what do you
Honorable Chairperson, we accept and replace beach with seashore. And then the first proposal there is to delete the word for ocean and replace with sea and estuary. I'll ask the hydrographer to, we disagree with that proposal, and ask the hydrographer to explain to you.
But did you explain that to me?
I don't know, really,
I don't know how to teach you our explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Shepard. The following
is that suggested wedding to be used? So it means there at A, she has taken off the beach and put or inserted seashore, and then B and C will remain as they are in the current there. Also, she proposes that clause 7 to include the word coastal before the word reserve, and we have already dealt with it as well, and well explained by the hydrographer. The next clause to be affected by the technical comment is clause 8, Honorable Chairperson, on the submission of hydrographic data. The professor proposes the separation of our responsibilities between the Minister of Defense, Minister of Environmental Affairs, and Minister of Transport, Rural Development and Land Reform to be clearly defined, particularly as it relates to surveying, determining base points and determining boundaries. The department responds to this submission under clause 14 that speaks to cooperation agreements, because it then includes further other interested parties that might have an interest in its activities with the department. So that will be dealt with under clause 14. Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, further to the clause 8, the portfolio committee. This portfolio committee, where the department appeared before it on the 16th of August 2018 when introducing the bill. So the members then made a reference or commented on specifically the word any person, and recommended that the department should relook and rephrase the that lost itself. And the department has reworked the clause and proposes the following, that it should read, that any person identified by the hydrographer from time to time in not from time to time by notice in the government gazette must communicate and submit any information in his possession regarding anything that causes a navigational danger and is relevant to or has an influence on the safety of navigating the area contemplated in section 2B. With this proposal, the department feels that any person somehow has been identified as persons who will be identified and noticed in the government as a, that any person must not include also laymen, but specifically to the particular persons that will be published by the hydrographer by notice. And then to be to that, then it will say any person contemplated in subsection 1 who fails, then that any person that goes together will be explanation of a person in subsection 1. So then it takes out the meaning of any person who would be referring to natural persons, but to juristic persons as stipulated in the gazette itself.
Any person, and you said it's is it natural person? Because nowhere in the definition there's a definition of person. Yeah, I'm just asking that because you might get a natural person bringing a legal persona, and say, you know, I want to register my CC or PY Limited as the person.
Chairperson, thank you. If I can respond to that. The Interpretation Act clearly refers to the person meaning a natural or juristic person. So it can cater for whichever is applicable under the specific circumstances. But that interpretation of law. So it caters for both just in case, yes. So it's covered. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Sir President. The next clause accepted by comment, Honorable Chairperson, is clause 14 on cooperation agreement. There's a proposal by Mr. Van Vienendal that provision should be made for an implementation protocol between the Department of Defense, Rural Land, which is the same as the one proposed by the professor, and the department, in considering it, accept that the clause must be amended and further propose the following wording, that the department must enter into cooperation agreements with the Department of Transport and may enter into such agreements with other parties in respect of matters of joint interest that may arise from the execution of the act. Then it covers all either the state audience or other juristic present entities. And then between departments as well, then they will be covered specifically under that clause. Honorable Chairperson, those are the comments that we received specifically from Mr. Stefan and Professor Victor, and those are the responses.
Thank you very much. So you're done. The only area great area seems to have been a beach. I also understand the acceleration. I think it's primarily from our interaction last time about the pattern. The reason for the committee was that we need to protect citizens. Right, but for a citizen to say beach or beach will not have disadvantage when I guess.
Yeah.
It should for your own operation.
Yeah.
The seashore. Because when I go to the beach, I'm not going to take the hydrographic action. And the problem is that when I go to the beach, you come and say, yeah, that's
the seashore. Maybe it is a stupid question, and it might be obvious from the act and the book. Who's going to be the beneficiaries of this act? Who's going to be used? Who's going to be the users in general terms? Is it the Navy? Is it the Department of Environmental Affairs? Is it so I just want to see for whose benefit is this the most? Is it for those people who tell us how the currents will go and what the weather will be? Or is it for mariners both in the Navy and in the private sector in terms of boats? So in other words, is it for them, you know, who's and then it's the Department of Transport, I presume.
It actually covers everybody. From the hydrographer who has to execute his duties in compliance with the SOLAS Convention, through to the safety of the mariner, who is the recipient of the execution of the hydrographer's duties by surveying and doing all of those things. Furthermore, the hydrography contributes towards the economy of the country. Everybody benefits in this regard. Thank you.
I'm just asking that because then we can go to National Treasury and say, you know, our defense force budget has been so depleted because this is a purpose that cuts on various departments. So in other words, maybe it's an argument.
Yes. Could be, but the fact of the matter is that the hydrographer located in the Navy,
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore, the argument can hold on. Yeah? That is, the hydrographer does not come from the Department of the Environment.
Yeah.
I'm saying water money. Okay. Your office is getting more money.
Yeah.
Can I? That's huge. I'm saying that the argument might hold water. It's very relevant in these circumstances. Just to add to what Mr. Maria said in terms of the relationship between the department and the Department of Transport. They have this agreement been entered into since 1954, formally, that the DOD and SA Navy will execute these functions of the hydrographer, and it's been the practice since then, without any objections by the Department of Transport. So it is purely then the bill intends to just capture this officially and formally in terms of the international convention which requires that. So it has been a custom, and that is why exactly we have clause 14, which makes provision for the interrelationship between the DOD and the Department of Transport regarding matters of mutual interest. In other words, how to manage the function between this department and the other. That's why we say there must be an agreement, not may. But with the other department, there may be as required, as you correctly stated, for instance, environmental affairs, etc. So that is, I just wanted to make that very clear. And it's also, apart from what I've said now, it's also custom in the world. We just did some comparative research and found that in most countries in the world, it's the functions of the military, of the navy, that execute the functions of hydrography. So it's perfectly in line with international best practice. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. You still want to write?
I've got before me the parliamentary advisor's comment, which I'm very capable of commenting on now, making clear that. And then in addition to that, I have the, as requested by the PCD on the last occasion, the copy. We have a copy, which we presented before. I can have the hydrographic, just quickly give it to you. What income is generated by the hydrographic office? Over to you.
Through the chair. Thank you. So what I did was, in response to the question raised on the revenue generated by the hydrographic office, what I'll now just refer to are the past three financial years, starting from financial year 15-16. Going forward to financial year 17-18. So the revenue that is collected by the Hydrographic Office is through sales of products and data usage agreements and royalties generated from other hydrographic organizations that utilize our data to produce other charts and other products. So financial year 15-16, we generated 8.5 million rand. Financial year 16-17, we generated 9.02 million rand. Financial year 17-18, 9.05 million rand. Obviously subject to rate of exchange, etc. The costs for financial year 15-16, it is my operating cost, excluding salaries. And what I did was I added CETA. We are reliant on CETA to assist us with the maintenance of our software and our IT equipment. So the total cost for financial year 15-16 is 6.3 million. Total operating cost for financial year 16-17 was 2.9 million. It was an adjustment due to CETA as rates being reduced. And financial year 17-18, a total operating cost of 2.8 million rand. So part of the upgrade to the hydrographic office now, part of the project that is being that is currently underway, we are going to be introducing new software and new IT, which will have a more or less similar operating cost, and maybe slightly more. but it's well within the figures that has been mentioned right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. But I just have a follow-up question. But that's fantastic. It means that, you know, it's not a liability. The other question is that revenue. Where did that revenue go to? Central Revenue Fund or the slush fund? Because if it goes to Central Revenue Fund, Chairperson, we must just take note, Chairperson. We must just make sure that we are aware in our discussions that there's another revenue going to the Central Revenue Fund, so that, you know, in our deliberations, because that's very important, because on the one hand it sounds fantastic, but it's not green face for you.
All the money generated goes straight to the Central Revenue Fund. I don't have any access to any of those funds. The operating costs that the Hydrographic Office currently has access to is from the African Navy budget.
So honourable members, or honourable opportunity were not there when they introduced the bill. This matter was raised there. And then I will see and the committee. In the same way that we argue for foreign deployment, we must, as a committee, come and intervene here. Thank you very much.
We are beach fellows.
Very interesting. Can we, I want to give the OD an opportunity to respond. Do you have any other opportunities to
the call? Thank you, Chair. Yes, there's this one other matter I want to clean up with you. This is the Parliament Advisor's vague comment, and it's very simple. I can give it right now. The first comment refers to the wording of adding of an and in clause one after the semicolon, before the last definition. It's drafting practice, we accept it. So it's not a big deal. The second proposal is actually to add a comma in clause 5 after the word server. I disagree with that because we already have commas separating remuneration, terms and conditions of employment, and termination of service. Termination of service is termination of service. You can't put a comma after this. It's not going to make no add no value. So I disagree with that one. And we must get out of the practice of adding too many commas, especially in legislative jargon, where obviously not necessary. So I disagree with that one. Clause number 8, they spoke to the provision of any process, which we've now amended. So that's accepted. Then the other submission is clause 10. As you can see in clause 10, what we purported to do is do an archiving specifically to the Hydrographic Office, you know, in relation to nautical charts and maps and whatever have you. But what we did is we drafted that. We brought it in line with the Defence Act and the Archiving Act. If you recall in the first session, the PPD addressed the question on that and we answered that it was actually in line with that. What the paper, parliamentary advisor is advising here, that we simply say, take out all of that and say, in accordance with subsections 1 or 2, and we find application with the SES and archiving. I think it would be vague to do that. It's spelled out here. It's in line with the 42 Act, so I really don't see no problem in leaving it the way it actually is. I'd like Kanakana just to say one word. Okay.
Chairperson, thank you. I think we've dealt with this issue as well the last time. Just to draw your attention to Section 83 of the Defence Act, which deals with the archiving, repository, the National Archives Act. And obviously, just remember that SA Navy is part of the DoD. So all the issues surrounding archiving are dealt with in the Defence Act, so we don't duplicate law. and all the responsibilities are captured not only here in Section 83, but also in DOD policy. I think we've alluded to that. So we don't duplicate, though it's already the same responsibility, and it's perfectly set out in this Section 83 of the Defense Act. And our view, that is superfluous.
Yes, clause 12. We accept the parliamentary advisory proposal. All is basically done. It's taken the current 12 in the bill, put it on the table, and it's saying the same thing. So we can accept clause 12, the parliamentary advisory proposal. And I think that completes it. And then you would see, sir, that the proposal or the comments that we proposal to the public comment, what we've done is we've changed it into the bill. We've put it into a bill to track changes, attached to the document, and that gives you a better perspective now on how the bill should work.
Thank you very much. Can we go to the response by the DOD?
That was the department.
No, we just wanted to confirm whether you captured these changes that you've mentioned now in the book.
Except the seashore, yeah, and the state advisor one, we'll do that. For the rest, that we from our perspective, we have captured.
So we can.
Okay. Now, so thank you very much, honourable members. We, as I said when we started, we may finish tomorrow. Tomorrow we still have to get what we call an AD. A list of amendments and the bills. So that can be situated to honorable members today. And then tomorrow we can deal with that, and I don't think we need to spend a week for Friday. Thank you very much. Any other thing? I think we are done. Honorable Skosana?
Yes. Can we go back to that form of issue where he said they don't agree with the on the issue of the form? Because I'm looking at the clause that is part.
What clause is that?
Clause 5, line 18. After the word service, they propose you put a comma. And if you read the entire section, you'll see that the comma is a very separating used to separate and there's an and, so it makes no sense to put a comma after the word service in English.
Where in clause 5? Clause 5? On the B. On the B.
Yes, sir. Page 4, line 18, after the word service.
Not on the bill, I say on the bill. On the bill.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to do the bill. Now, I don't know. And after service, we say.
It says the provisions of the Defense Act 2002 regarding the appointment, remuneration, terms and conditions of employment and termination of service after the word service.
No.
I really don't see the need for a comma.
No. It will have a different meaning.
So we can affect those changes today and have it immediately to your secretary for distribution to the members.
Yeah.
I guess so, because you definitely get the information tonight and the convention. Thank you very much. You don't have any other thing on our agenda. Yeah, no, it's fine. You can send the program.
And also our AID.
Maybe we'll talk with you about it. I just met the chair of chess now. He's dealing with it. That's what he said. But they will make a follow-up.
This is usual.
So, honorable members, thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation.
Thank you very much.
Go away.
Thank you. I'm part of the panel now, interview panel. So, yeah, I must be there. Not unless you meet in the morning, 10 o'clock. Ah, 12. Remember, I'm alone. I still have to park the car and ask people to take me. Now, get the members to finish this. That's going to take 10 minutes. But then I think it is that member. I would have preferred in the morning. 9 o'clock, half past 9. I'm going to go to the hotel. Yes. can persuade them, or they can ask the...
No, no, I just want to say that we can go to the
We're thinking, why don't you try in the morning? This thing will take 10 minutes.
What? In the morning? What time? There's no caucus tomorrow.
Oh, then it's for better. We do it in the morning. Because I'm flying out to that interview.
What time do you fly?
I leave here. I have to be the choice.
No, but you are not going to take it.
What time?
We have a call of time, but 11 minutes.
This
one? We'll, 10 minutes. We start at 10.
Yeah.
10 past 10 will be here. What time was you play out?
Immediately.
What time is your here?
I was imagining tomorrow we
will have 10 minutes.
That drives you, we must not go to drive
tomorrow.
Because we are just supposed to be on the baby that is called. We should take the baby.
If we are not meet tomorrow, that is doing November. But you can't put it on Friday only. Why tomorrow also? For only one meeting, there's no focus, there's no speaking, there's nothing.
We'll do it in the next day.
Let them go tomorrow. We book it for the one. October.
On the 18th.
Who are going? If the number is not increased, who are going?
Oh. There was no IFP or anything like that.
Huh?
Was there any IFP or NFP member?
Where?
In this meeting.
IFP.
No, there was no IFP.
This person no longer is.
Ash,
but
he was here.
But he didn't attend.
So you're upset?
Yeah. No, I'm not looking. Who's that one?
Binda.
Yes, I tell them not to attend Binda also.
But who's the one?
Songo EFM?
There is a one also.
Okay, you must just say.
What are the four times?
The
AAD.
Wow. Dampuna.
Dampuna.
Yeah, that too.
I'm not going to be able to do it. All the days before Saturday. All the days and market.